It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. Happy Monday to you. I hope you're great. I hope you're good. I hope you're well. I hope you're fine. I hope you're smooth. I'll be hanging out with you for the next 2 hours. This is a four-hour show. I get started every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. I'm being joined by super producer and host Ryan Hickey. He's in New York City. And you can always listen to this show on the free Odyssey app. You can listen on your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate, Sirius XM channel 158. And if you got a smart speaker, ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. This should be fun. In about 20 minutes, we're going to have a conversation with NFL offensive tackle from the Arizona Cardinals, 13-year NFL vet, all-around good guy, not just on the field but off of it. Kelvin Beachum is going to come through. Looking forward to that chat. It's always a good one. I'll ask him about Kyler Murray. I'll ask him about Coach Gannon, Marvin Harrison, figure out what he's doing in the world. And then also, how about this? I got to ask him about SMU. It took a whole big bounce back for them to win over the weekend. That's where he went to school. So, yeah, Kelvin Beachum is joining us in 20 minutes. And then, of course, as we've already discussed, we got into CeeDee Lamb, his new contract with the Dallas Cowboys. Whether or not the Dallas Cowboys are now going to give a contract to Dak Prescott. Trent Williams is holding out for a contract. We talked about the big football upset over the weekend as Florida State took a big ol' L versus Georgia Tech. We talked about the quarterback battles currently going on in the NFL. The Steelers not making their decision between Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. We got to wait a whole week for that. And then also, how about this one? I mean, Drake May, they may throw him to the Wolves instead of Jacoby Brissett. That'd be a bad idea. We talked about Aaron Judge, who as of right now, he has not hit a home run yet. And Shohei Ohtani entered into the 40-40 club. And then right before we went to break, we talked about Jerry Jones. There have been conversations for years about when he will decide to relinquish the reins of the Dallas Cowboys, at least in being their general manager. And he said, never. He said, nobody could ever do it like him. And this is the most Jerry Jones thing to say, right? I mean, when you build it up, I guess you don't move. It's yours. It's your birthright. But in the case of Jerry Jones, where's the success been? Are you out here just trying to go 12-5? You're your own biggest enemy. Sometimes you got to know when to move the hell up on out the way. And so we got Kelvin Beachum coming in about 20 minutes. But before we get there, I want to talk about somebody else who says, well, he is not moving out the way. He will not be moved. He will not be bullied. He will not tolerate crap. He will not take questions from certain members of the media. It's Deion Sanders, the head coach of the Colorado Buffaloes, the team that went 4-8 last year, shocking the living hell out of everybody to start the season. People were so hyped on Colorado, and then the injuries started to come. And the offensive line stunk. And then a lot of their players had to hit the transfer portal. And then players from inside who transferred out talked about the environment at Colorado. And, I mean, one of Deion's first things when he showed up was to tell everybody, hey, get ready to pack your bags because I'm bringing in my own luggage and it's going to be Louis. Like, we've heard a lot. Deion Sanders is a showman. He's a salesman. I mean, this over the weekend, we learned that Deion Sanders, via one of these NIL deals, every one of his players who has a child is going to be on the receiving end of more than $2,000 to help out the kid. That's nice. Hickey, don't you want some of that money?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. We should go play for Colorado, maybe. But then we'd have to have kids, so hold off on that. No thanks. Unnecessary prerequisite. But nice. And so for everything that's nice, typically, there's always something combative when it comes to Deion. And so over the weekend, We learned that they have barred a reporter from the Denver Post, Sean Keeler. They have banned him from answering any questions at the press conferences. Deion Sanders basically put a stop and said, nope, I'm not taking questions from you. You always come in for me. And this has been something that's been brewing for months. And it's been stated in his contract that Deion Sanders doesn't have to talk to anybody, that both he and the university don't want to. And that's, I don't know. And this is the only individual I think that they've had this issue with. And Sean Keeler in the past has basically said that Deion Sanders is a false prophet, the Bruce Lee of BS. Harold Hill and Desana Shades, he's also in the wrong business. If Coach Prime wanted to run for governor, he'd kill it. Rallies for breakfast, adoring fans for miles. No NCAA, no recruiting rules, no pesky Washington states to hammer you senseless in the cold. And so the school has taken the position of calling him a false prophet. At one point in time, referring to him as Deposition Deion, calling him the Bruce Lee of BS, the Deion Kool-Aid, calling the organization a circus that hasn't put him in the right line. So now he's been banned from answering questions. And so Deion, over the weekend, ahead of their school opener, or their season opener against North Dakota State on Thursday, Deion had to answer some of these questions. He was basically asked if he will answer any negative questions in the future. This is what he said.
I'm not negative to anybody in here. I will challenge you and ask you why or where is this coming from. So I'm not built like that. I'm not built to hate. I'm not a hateful guy. I come with love. I think if anybody in here has had encounters with me, I don't come with the bull junk. I come with the peace and the joy. Now, when you show me where you stand, I might have to change that a little bit. So I'm not going to match your ignorance or whatever. Not saying that you're ignorant, but a person, I'm not going to match that. Well, that's your prerogative. I don't have to come where you come, where you are, because my life is complete. I don't like what you say, what you do is not going to change my life.
Oh, man. Well, can we focus in on the football? Like, this is the part. It's the good and the bad. Like, now you getting into beefs with reporters? Like, there comes a point in time, and I get it. Deion even said, I'm older now. You know, I don't need the response to some of this stuff. But you're lending credence to a lot of it. The noise. And, yes, when you're Deion Sanders, this is the attention. But this is the same attention in a different way. Shouldn't the focus be on the young men? And it is. And maybe you don't care what happens outside, but that's a part of the job. It's a part of the gig. If you have to spend time and energy addressing it, it takes away from highlighting the students. And yeah, people will always say stuff because you're Deion. But there comes a point in time where it's just like, don't feed the trolls. Just leave it alone. Deion Sanders, he was asked if he feels persecuted unfairly by the media.
I don't know about persecuted. This is a way of life for me. You guys act like this is the first time I've been shot at. I've been lied on, cheated, talked about, mistreated. That's a gospel song, ain't it? This is not the first time for this. What you say, what you do is not going to change my life.
Okay, fair. Fair, fair, fair. So why do you have to address it or put more attention on it? Like, by banning the guy, you've done nothing but inflame it. Like, there's nothing lost here by just answering a guy or not answering him or giving him the smallest bit of anything. But you really put more attention on this. You put more logs on the fire by banning the dude. There'd be no talk about this. None whatsoever. If you just went business as usual. Hickey, what are your thoughts? Because this is the worst of the worst. Like, imagine if everybody now starts to do, everybody's not Deion Sanders, but imagine if more people start doing this all over the country.
I think this is the first sign publicly of Deion starting to crack. I think personally he's a fraud. I think a lot of what he says is all to distract from the actual football on the field that is not very good. And now you hear him twice now in the two clips we played, both say to reporters, whatever you say, whatever you do does not impact my life. while at the same time banning someone from asking him any questions, because clearly whatever was asking or whatever he was asking or writing was impacting him enough where he got upset. Like, that's flat out hypocritical right there.
It is. This is after 1 year. And to be honest, I don't think this year is necessarily going to be all that much better. What you can slap together with all the transfers. I mean, let's be real. Are they going to win the Big 12? Unlikely. Are they going to the playoff? Unlikely. Or maybe they have some type of miracle Disney run in them. But what I can expect, I think, is, I hate to say what Sean Keller said, or Keeler, excuse me, more of the circus atmosphere. And we get that because of all the social media postings and how he responds and when he puts things and sitting around and doing podcasts. And yeah, we got coaches who do this all over the country. Come on, Dabo Swinney, he got a show. And by the way, Dabo Swinney is no longer taking viewer or listener questions on his show after he went viral for disrespecting a listener last year. And so, yeah, every coach, and we've seen coaches talk to the media and lose it, whether it's on the sideline, a post-game press conference, or practice. When you have to talk to the media and you are constantly criticized and questioned and ridiculed, how stupid is this guy? What is he doing? It's natural. You're a human being. You're going to feel it. But it's a part of the gig. And one of the worst parts, or one of the worst responses, is to say, I just ain't going to talk to you no more. Man, we got enough coaches who just ignore the living hell out of somebody and don't give them. You're giving a guy attention. And so if he's cracking after year one, what the hell is he going to do after this season when his son and Travis Hunter are gone? That's your quarterback. And the guy who is likely the most talented player in all of college football, what are you going to do when they're gone? Deion, actually, he got that question. Are you leaving? Is this going to be your last year at Colorado when they graduate? This is what Deion had to say.
Coach your children, obviously, their entire lives, and mm-hmm. you haven't coached a game without them. Does this feel like a culmination for you arriving to this season now, this being the last go-around? And obviously...
For with my sons?
Or just in your life,
No,
really.
It's not the last go-around for me. I'm just getting started in this college football thing.
Does it feel like the closing of a chapter? Is I guess
with my kids, yeah, certainly. I don't think it's the closing. It's just different levels to this thing. Although I'm 100% sure that I'm not going to be their coach next year, I'm still going to have influence on their lives because I'm their father.
Okay. He said college football thing. He didn't say Colorado. And I mean, those are the small things. Hickey, did you catch that?
I did. Yeah, that's interesting.
How difficult would it be to say, I still plan to be here? Even if he said, I still plan. Because we know nothing is set in sports. Guys sign contracts and half contracts and they wake up and decide they don't want to do it anymore. And they say, oh, well, that's what I said in August. And, you know, how I feel now in March isn't indicative of anything. He didn't say any of that. I'm not done with this college football thing. And look, there have been a lot of rumors about, well, he could move on and he could do this and go coach wherever his son goes, or maybe coach the Dallas Cowboys if Mike McCarthy gets the boot. I don't know. Maybe the reason why Sean Keeler, and I certainly wouldn't use these words and phrases, and some of it is a little much. The Bruce Lee of BS, all right, that's his opinion. Okay, fine. Planet Prime, okay. A false prophet? Reasonable, right? But these are things that happens when you're in the public eye. And as Deion said, man, you done been in the public eye now for the better part of going on 40 years. Like, at this stage of life, it's just, you can't just let it whoosh. And yeah, there's a time to stand up for yourself. There's a time to fight back, but you're not fighting back. You're just banning a guy and you're upset. And now you're putting a magnifying glass on the situation, which is obviously just making it worse. And so when you do this, when you react this way, everything that you do is just going to garner more attention, and then you're just going to respond again. Hickey, you said it, man. You can't say it doesn't bother you. You're used to this, and then you just ban the guy. And then the fact of the matter is the Colorado is backing this up. When they signed the guy to a contract, they knew what was going to take place, and this is what they signed up for. They signed up for the donors, the attention, the money. Are the victories going to come with it? I don't know. What happens when Shador is gone? Oh, is Tom Brady's son just going to go play for the Buffaloes in a few years? I don't think so. I think, Dion, the clock is ticking, man. The clock is really ticking. It's the JR Sportbeat Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, this guy, I have never heard anybody say a negative word about him. Everything that this guy does, as far as I know, has been positive. We're going to have a chat with an NFL vet on the offensive line for the Arizona Cardinals. His name is Kelvin Beachum. I'm going to ask him about these cards. Why? Because obviously, Kyler Murray is back. He's healthy. Marvin Harrison Jr. is in the building. The coach gets to work with a full team. And then I want to ask Kelvin what the hell he's doing. Because he's always working on something positive to help out the community. And then I'll ask him about SMU football. We're locked into the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Kelvin Beachum, NFL offensive tackle, joining us on the other side. So don't you move.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We know we're right at the heels of the start of the NFL season, and right now we're being joined by a 13-year NFL vet, someone who doesn't just get the job done on the field for the Arizona Cardinals, but also does a good job, a great job in the community. And we'll get into a lot of that. It's Kelvin Beachum. Kelvin, how are you, man?
I'm doing well, man. Good to see you again. It's like this is a regular occurrence, man. Every year around this time, we find a way to get on the phone.
Well, we got to connect good people doing good things. We'll talk about everything you got going on with World Vision. How are you doing heading into the season, man?
Going well, man. Just had the last preseason game yesterday. So 1,100 people will lose their jobs over the next 2 days. So it's never an easy task by any means. But when you put it in context, man, it's a violent game. It's a hard game. It's an emotional game. A lot of dreams will either be made over the next, 24 to 48 hours, and some may be crushed. But that's what comes with this game. And I've been fortunate to be, in this sport for a long time. And hopefully good news comes out over the next couple of days. So just trying to make sure I'm doing my part. And I put my best foot forward, let things go from there.
Kelvin Beachum is here with us. 13 years, man. Year number one to year number 13. The league has changed. Your body has changed. The amount of preseason games have changed. The reps have changed. Do you feel different heading into this season?
Every year you have to evolve. Every year is different. Every year there's some type of change that's happening. I remember when I came into the league, we used to have wedge busters where there used to be a wedge on kickoff. And then they took that out. And then, they moved the kickoff back, where it wasn't as close. Now you got the new kickoff that it is today. It's just so many things that have changed since I've been in the National Football League. But there's always change. It's always evolving of the game that's continuing to take place. Involvement of the players and involvement of the players, how strong they are, how fast they are. These 21-year-olds that are walking into the locker room, man, they build a little different. And it's fascinating to see, but it's also a pleasure to have some wisdom and some experience to be able to now sow into the next generation of players.
Well, Kelvin, you talk about 20-year-olds walking into the locker room. Your team picked up one, the son of a great, and Marvin Harrison Jr. How's he been looking on offense, man? He looks like a beast out there.
Man, he's looking good, man. I'm excited to see what happens when we go to Buffalo. It's going to be a phenomenal environment. I love playing in Buffalo. It's a great place and a great football city to play in. So to see his talents on display, I'm looking forward to it. And I've told a number of folks this as of late, when the ball is in his vicinity, he ends up with the ball. And however you want to call it or however you want to, measure it or quantify it, whenever the ball is in his vicinity, he's usually the guy that's coming out with the ball, and that's a good trait to have.
And Kelvin Beachum is here with us of the Arizona Cardinals. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast. The man who's going to be throwing him the ball is hopefully clear of all injury, moving around great. A couple of weeks ago, he says nobody's talking about the Cardinals. How's Kyler Murray looking?
He's doing good, man. I really feel that he's really starting to master this offense, to be honest with you. And when you have that ability from your quarterback, when he has great command of the offense, he can master the offense. He knows where things are supposed to go. He knows, you know, if the play call happens to come in wrong, how to put everybody in the right position. That is a skill in itself. And I really believe that he's really taking steps forward to be able to master this offense and put himself in a position to be the franchise quarterback, which we all know he can be, and execute in that limelight and execute within that that obligation. So we're really excited to put and see him put his next, you know, kind of series of games together to continue to pad his resume and continue to be, like I said, the franchise player that we all know he can be.
Kelvin Beachum is here with us on the JR Sport Brief Show. This seems like a little bit of a refresh. We talk about the incoming wide receiver, a healthy Kyler Murray. How is Coach Gannon moving now that he seems to have all the pieces together?
Man, it's fun to be around JG, man. His energy, his love for the game, his process, which I've been a huge fan of since he's walked into the building, his ability to talk about the process, knowing that the outcomes will come and we will have the results that we do desire, but it's about the process. And when you play this game and you play this game for a long time, you look at some of the great teams and some of the great coaches, they've always been about the process. And if you can get the process right, and you have the roster that, you know, that Monty has put in place, you can start to put things in place to put yourself in a position to be successful. So can't say enough good things about JG, the energy that he brings, the tenacity that he brings, the process orientation that he brings to this team and this organization, which I think is so needed right now.
Well, you guys have had to deal with the injuries and a reset. What message do you want to give for the Cardinal fans who are listening in the metro area and all across the country?
Man, you know, the thing is I'm one of those guys, you know, I let the bandwagons, you know, start to pick up when they need to. It's not much to talk about, you know. I'm a show me person. So we got to put it on film. We got to put it on tape. But when we put it on tape, you know, don't start talking crazy. That's all I got to say.
Well, listen, we know when it comes to the community, Kelvin, you've been outside and you've been doing a lot of showing. You're a man of action. What's going on with you, especially as we got people all over the country getting ready for school?
You know, I've always done back to school type of events and back to school type of activities for a number of years. World Vision has been a phenomenal partner of mine. I mean, we're going on, I think, eight years or so, started back in 2016. So we've been with each other for a long time. They've done a phenomenal job with the teacher resource centers all over the country. We do a lot of work, and I do a lot of work with them on a global scale, working with, you know, things as it pertains to access to clean water. But here in America, it's always about the teacher resource center and being able to make sure the kids have the supplies that they need to go and execute. We have the equipment that we need to go and execute on Sundays. I need to make sure that these young people have the equipment to go and execute as they go into a new school year. And, you know, here in Arizona, they start school at all times. My kids started school back in mid-July. You got some kids that start in school here in mid-August. And you got some kids that are starting school at the end of September. Well, not end of September, but after Labor Day, which is when I used to go to school. And I would imagine you went to school, you know, back after Labor Day. But, you know, things have changed quite a bit. So it's just being able to, again, be able to evolve with the times and understanding that these teachers need support and the kids need support. I'm a huge proponent of making sure that teachers have the support. I feel our teachers in America don't get enough credit for the babysitting that they have to do day in and day out with our young people. I got three minions that I call them, and I know the teachers that they have are special people to deal with my minions. So to make sure that the teachers have the proper resources to be successful and their kids in those classes have the proper resources is something that I'm a huge proponent of, and World Vision has been a partner of mine, and we've done work together in a number of different cities across the country to be able to execute on making sure that young people have the necessary tools and equipment to go and, you know, have the year that they need to have.
Kelvin Beachum is here with us, Arizona Cardinals. Where can people find out more information if they want to get involved? Because I think most of us like kids, whether we have them or not, we want to support kids and teachers. Where can people find out more information?
You know, you can always go to worldvision.org. That's a great place to start. You know, you have my social media platforms as well that are out there. Kelvin Beachum Jr. On IG, Kelvin Beachum on LinkedIn, Kelvin Beachum on Facebook, and then X. I think it's Kelvin Beachum on there as well. So it's pretty simple. Just type in my name on any of those social media platforms and be able to find me.
I hear that. And on the way out of here, to let you go, man, SMU getting a lot of attention. I know they got going over the weekend, but they're in a bigger and better place than what they have been. What are your thoughts on that, man? It's your school.
You know, you can't do all this talking and then raise all this money, you know, over $200 million raised, and then you go out and lay an egg, you know, and they didn't lay an egg, but you can't go to Nevada half stepper. And, you know, I was in a group chat with a couple of guys and, you know, I was in meetings and my phone has been blown up. You know, it's 2 minutes left in the game and SMU down, you know, more than a field goal. And, you know, it's just one of those things you applaud your alma mater for being able to get into the ACC. It's ACC, right? And it's all these acronyms.
Everybody moving.
Get into the ACC. But you can't go out and do nothing like that and not execute and not perform like you needed to. So we'll see. It's Nevada. A win is a win. You know, they don't all have to be, you know, blowouts. They all don't have to be pretty. At the end of the day, when you have more points than the other team, that's what matters the most. So we'll see what happens as they get ready to head into the next one. But that was not the outing with the type of capital that we raised to go and, you know, put that type of product on the field. But I'm just an alumnus, man. I have no dog in the fight. I just want to see SMU be successful. I want to see the young people take over the mantle of bringing, you know, SMU back to prominence. But that wasn't a good outing for the first one of the year.
There's a lot more football ahead for SMU. Kelvin, there's a lot of football ahead of you with the Cardinals. I wish you nothing but the best, and we'll talk to you down the line. Thank you so much. Tell everybody one more time where they can follow you.
Kelvin Beecham Jr. on Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook. Again, so good to see you, brother. We got to find a way to talk offline at some point.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you so much to Kelvin Beecham for joining us in the last break. Always something positive. This man is getting ready to play another NFL season. He's helping out kids in school. You got to appreciate it. Some people, you know, they do this here or there, and here they are, and take a picture and leave. Like, no, he's committed to helping people out in so many other areas of life. So thank you so much to Kelvin Beecham for joining us. And I expect, and you would think, that the Arizona Cardinals would have a better season than what they did last year. Four victories? That's tough. And now also knowing that you do have a Kyler Murray who's going to be back, I just don't know if they in whole, the team, has enough. Are they going to be competitive for a wild card spot? I think that might be the best case scenario. I just don't see it happening. I think it may be another year before they're able to go out there and maybe get back to the postseason. But we know things can change very quickly here in the NFL. So thank you once again to Kelvin Beecham for joining us in the last break. If you missed the conversation, you can go ahead and hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. I need you to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. You know, for whatever reason, there's been a lot of emphasis on time and how much time people have left and what they don't have left. I mean, earlier on, just in this hour, we heard from Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders said, listen, people, when my son is gone and Travis Hunter is gone and Shiloh is gone, he says, I still plan on being a part of this college football thing. He didn't specify being at Colorado. He did say he wasn't going anywhere, whatever that means. You know, I shared with you some comments made by Jerry Jones over the weekend. Jerry Jones, in an interview, pretty much said that he's not giving up the reins. Jerry Jones is not leaving as general manager of the Dallas Cowboys. He said, nobody can do it like me. Okay, I guess there's only one way we're going to find out. And I don't know if it's not the way that I want or he wants, definitely, but I think there's only one way to figure it out.
Unfortunately, you are right. Unfortunately for Cowboys fans, you are right.
Yeah. And so you never know. Everybody get that tap on the shoulder and say, it's your time. I mean, in all honesty, they're NFL players who are going to sleep tonight, they have no idea whether or not they'll be an NFL player tomorrow. You just heard Kelvin Beachum say it. There will be more than 1,000 players cut tomorrow. Damn. It's cut day in the NFL. Teams have to get down to 53 players. And I think we've all, if you've been living long enough, you've all dreaded that call or a call or that message or that email or whatever that is. I'm sure you've heard that in the past, and just get that call that you don't want. And we've seen a little bit of this in the NFL over the years through Hard Knocks, and you get that message and guys want to avoid the phone going off, and you know, you get that message from the assistant, and it's like, hey, coach wants to see you, and it's like, for what? To fire me? Not like nobody wants that. And this is the dream for a lot of these. Well, it's a dream for all of them, and not everybody's going to fulfill it. I mean, could you imagine if Brock Purdy ever got that call? You know, he's feared it, and he's probably staring in the face. He has another great season. He's probably going to make $60 million a year. Like, you never know when you're on the edge of something great or if things just falling apart. And so keep that in mind. And by the time we're here on the air tomorrow, we should have a good idea of who's cut. A lot of these names will be anonymous. They might be your neighbors. They might be your former classmate. They might be your friend, your mother's son's uncle, brother. They might be your next door neighbor. And then there are going to be some names that you just have to go, oh, damn, that guy got cut. You know, we talked about earlier today, Juju Smith-Schuster is back with the Kansas City Chiefs. Okay, he's a name. Who else? There's going to be some big names that are just on the unemployment line looking for work. Hickey, would you be surprised if the Dolphins told Odell, take a hike? What did they sign this guy to, like $5 million, I think? Something like that?
Something like that. It can't be much more than, you know, a few million just because of the questions. I mean, I saw a headline today about Tua. He was asked about how he's getting along with Odell, you know, where they are on the same page. He goes, I've not thrown to him one time.
Oh, my God.
So that's definitely, I think, a fair name to keep an eye on just because, what do they say, right? Your best ability is your availability. And that's not been the case with OBJ.
At least Tua was on. He's like, I don't even have the guy's phone number. I don't know what he looks like. I haven't seen him. I've never thrown a ball. Wow. It's August, man. You can't throw the ball to Odell in August? He's just going to wake up and be available in September? Maybe he's on vacation. Maybe he's just, Hickey, he's keeping himself fresh for the regular season. That's what he's doing.
That's what they're calling it?
Yeah, that's what's going on.
So week one, he'll just roll out of bed on Sunday and be ready to go. Hibernation?
Odell is here for the long haul, all right? He's not here just to show up. And we've heard this. Who wants to practice? Practice is great. I think preparation is the greatest thing that people don't understand about having success. You actually have to do the work. You have to have the repetitions. You have to get in the groove. And I get it. You want the same thing in the NFL. This is the reason why they have training camp and practice. But when you've taken the beating or you've had the surgeries and the injuries that somebody like Odell has had, is it not reasonable? Like, does Trent Williams, does he need, I mean, outside of, I don't know, a game or a week of practice, does he need to be out there getting his ass whooped for a month?
Probably not.
Does Odell need it? Maybe for conditioning reasons, but if he has too much, then he's not available for the season.
And if we're talking about too much in training camp now with how pulled back training camp is and not extreme whatsoever, then it's problematic.
It's problematic. Here's someone who we haven't seen at all is Aaron Rodgers. That's another guy, but this dude is going to be staring in the face of 41 years old. Just blew his leg out last year. Took him all but four plays for his Achilles to pop. You can thank the Jets offensive line for that one. And so I could understand a little bit of trepidation when it comes down to Aaron Rodgers and his usage specifically. And so knowing that he wants to make sure the Jets get their money's worth and this is a make or break season for him, Aaron Rodgers, he spoke with Sports Illustrated and he had a few things to say. He says, I am so thankful that I am a football player and it's been my identity, but it's also realizing it's not just on the back nine. I'm on the 18th tee right now and I'm trying to finish. When talking about playing two more years, it's not something he's thinking about. He has to see how he feels. My first goal is to be healthy and to play all 17 regular season games and then make a run. Okay. Well, everybody says that he's looked good. I mean, his own offensive tackle, someone who's dealt with plenty of injuries himself, Cowboys fans know about this, Tyron Smith, he says Aaron Rodgers, he's looked excellent during camp. Listen to this.
No, he's looking great. don't know much more to say than that, but, you know, he has all the respect in the world from me. He just wanted a grace out there, and we're just trying to do our best to, you know, keep up with the man.
Well, keep up with him. All right. Well, I hear he can be demanding. What about somebody that's on the receiving end of his passes? A super returner. We actually helped them win that game, opening game last year against the Bills after Aaron Rodgers went down. Xavier Gibson. What do you think about Aaron Rodgers?
Every day I see him, I feel like he's confident in everything he does. Just from, you know, he's a vet. You know, he's a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback, and I feel like it's nothing he hasn't been through that he can't handle.
Oh, okay. Hickey, when he walks into work, do they like lay down flowers at his feet? Do they like getting him grapes and fan? Like what? When Aaron Rodgers shows up to work, does everybody have to kiss his ring?
I would say bow down, probably be my guess.
Wow.
He steps in, everyone stops what they're doing, drops down, maybe like three fans, you up and down, probably like three of those as he walks by and then get back to normal business.
Wow. Damn. Now, we had this conversation last week, so we don't need to beat it into the ground. You're not all that high on the Jets. I think they're going to make the postseason. And I think it's because he being Aaron Rodgers, he'll be healthy. Like, you can't be that cursed of a team, right? Not that much.
You would think, but also when you are a bad organization.
Oh, here we go.
You sometimes open yourself up and to, I don't say bad luck, but you do it to yourself.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, from the minute that they brought the guy in, everybody knew that this was going to be a, for lack of a better phrase, a one-hitter quitter. Like, Aaron Rodgers is coming in here. We need to hit a grand slam right away. And if we don't, then we're screwed. And if we hit a grand slam, that means we won a Super Bowl and it was all worth it. Otherwise, we got to start again. Now, all things considered, it's probably more likely that it doesn't happen. That's just the odds of it. But if you're the Jets, you had to give it a chance, right? You have to bring in the best player that's available. That is Aaron Rodgers. Zach Wilson wasn't getting a job done. We've even entered into a world right now with the Denver Broncos are going to have three quarterbacks out there, reportedly. Hickey, the Jets are so bad, even Zach Wilson looks good in Denver. It's just a sad, sad world. And they're going to hold all three of them, too, because you're not getting rid of Bo Nix. He knows he's not going anywhere. He's a starting quarterback now. Jarrett Stidham has a little bit more experience. But then would you really trust a team with Zach Wilson as the sole quarterback to back you up? Would you trust that?
No, I would not.
And now they got to keep three guys around? What a waste of resources. But I guess you can afford it when all three of your quarterbacks, one is a rookie, one is a bust, rookie bust, and the other one is just like, can I get more than 10 starts in a season? Hey, good luck to the Broncos. And good luck to the Jets. Good luck to the Jet fans. Like, they need something nice every once in a while. Every season, every year just can't be be pain, disappointment, blown out Achilles. If I think about the Jets' most successful quarterbacks over the past 25 years, Brett Favre got old and broke down. Chad Pennington blew out his shoulder, broke down. Vinny Testaverde blew out his Achilles, broke down. Aaron Rodgers played four plays, blew out his Achilles, broke down. Hickey, you know what? The Jets, they might be screwed.
You're Mark right. Sanchez didn't break down, at least.
Well, he just sucked.
But his body at least didn't let him down like a lot of the other guys you named.
At least his Achilles is intact. I guess it counts for something, right? I depressed myself. I was positive for a minute, but Aaron Rodgers has two Achilles, right? Good luck to the other one. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to be positive. Let's talk about all the great things we discussed so far. Don't move.